You turn with me in the Word of God to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and reading from the 15th verse. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Well, may God bless to our hearts that reading from his word. We now turn in the word of God to the Epistle of James in chapter 4. James chapter 4, I'm beginning to read at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. I wonder what you're planning for tomorrow, maybe to go to work, maybe to go to school or college, maybe to stay at home, maybe to visit somebody in particular, or maybe to go to some particular place. And what about the next few months? Maybe to finish school, maybe to start a job somewhere, maybe to change your job, maybe to go to some particular place on holidays. Then what about the next few years? That could be different for so many. May get married, or have children, or change my job, or enjoy my retirement. Well, of course, it's not wrong to make plans for the next day, the next few months, the next few years. But all of those plans have to be submitted to the will of God. If the Lord will, they will happen. We've been considering on Sunday morning some of the delusions of the human heart, things that we're deceived by. And here is another one, that we have control over the future. Self-confidence and self-presumption about the future is a delusion. It's a delusion to say what we will do, or what we won't do, or where we'll go, without acknowledging your dependency upon God, without recognizing that ultimately your life isn't in your hands, though you like to think it is, but is in the hands of God. That picture that was painted years ago is a very poignant one where, you know, there's a massive hand and there are two people on the hands and one says to the other, "Where is God?" And the whole point is, he's actually in the hand of God. If you're not a Christian, if you're an unbeliever in the Lord Jesus Christ, you make all your plans, all your decisions about the future without any reference to God at all. You don't acknowledge that your life and your plans and all your hopes are really in his hands. You don't do that. That isn't something, Christian, you ought to do. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing God as your Father, knowing that he holds the future, you should make all of your plans with that in mind. It's all subject to his will. But if you're not careful as a Christian, you can in actual fact be little different to a non-Christian. You can presume, even as a Christian, if you're not careful, that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, as if you're in control of what is going to happen. So a great presumption that men and women have, Christians and even non-Christians as well, is that they can plan the future and they have no yet control over it. You don't know whether you're going to live. You don't know whether what you plan is going to happen. So here's a common delusion amongst non-Christians and sadly sometimes amongst Christians. We're in control of what's going to happen to us. We're in control of what we're going to do. And we leave God out of the reckoning. And that delusion is unjustified. This is something that mankind is totally frustrated by in his pride. And it's this. Ultimately, he is not in control. But God is. And man finds that very frustrating. He actually isn't in control, even of his own life. God is. You see, people today are practical atheists. Some people will come out and say, "I don't believe there's a God." Many don't do that, but they're still atheists. They live as if there's no God. They live their lives without any reference to God, without any acknowledgement of God at all. And all the boasting and pride that says, "I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that," that forgets God, that doesn't acknowledge your plans are dependent upon God, that doesn't recognize that your life is dependent on God, and the realization of all you've planned and all your hope is dependent upon God, God says is evil. He says that in verse 16. "Now you rejoice in your boastings." He says, all such rejoicing is evil. Indeed, he goes on to say in the next verse, the person who makes plans for the future, as if they're in control, as if what they decide is certain to happen, when they know really they're not ultimately, then God is, and they don't submit their life to the will of God, is in actual fact sinning by so doing. So here is something man can't really stand. He isn't in control. God is. Here is something the most hardened unbeliever, the most hardened non-Christian is frustrated by. Because if you're not a Christian, every time you make plans about the future, you're confronted by God. By the reality of God. You can't get away from that. You make all your plans, but you continually are confronted by God. You don't want to admit it. But the fact is, all you hope to do, all you plan to do, is ultimately dependent on him. And God, time and again, non-Christian, thwarts your best laid plans. And sometimes all that God does is overrule something very small in life. And what you plan to do, what you intended to do, doesn't happen. You don't get where you intended to go. You're not there as long as you intended to be. You don't get to do what you intended to do there. And sometimes it's a little thing that alters all of that. You find God thwarting your best laid plans. And it's a total frustration to the non-Christian. If you're not a Christian, you're living as if there isn't a God, and yet you're confronted by him every day because you find that you're not in control, but he is. You're dependent upon God for everything, ultimately, even for life itself. In him we live and we move and we have our being. If God sees fit that your life finish today, it will. And as hard as you try, you won't stop that happening. You're totally dependent on God as to whether or not your plans will actually happen. Because God is controlling all the circumstances of life that will make them or not make them happen and cause them to be realized. So our hearts are deluded if we really imagine we're in control. We're the boss of our lives. You're totally dependent on God. You're dependent on him for health. You're dependent upon him for life. And you're dependent upon him that in his sovereign control of all little circumstances that make up life, whether or not the plans that you have are going to be fulfilled, are going to be realized. You see, we often make plans as if they're certain to happen. We're going to go there next month for our holidays, as if that's certain. No, it isn't. I'm going to be this when I leave school, as if it's certain, that's decided, I'm going to be it. No, it isn't. We make our plans, and yet the very existence of our lives, the realization of those plans, is ultimately subject to the will of God. All your plans you have, the success of them, you haven't control over the things they depend for their success. You living, your health, not having an accident, things working out nationally and in your own personal circumstances like you expect. You don't have control over those things. God does. And therefore, all that you plan, all that you hope, ultimately is subject to his will. Now, we're very often like the people James describes here, as if we can go through life making our plans. Notice what they say. Today or tomorrow, on a certain day, they pick a day on which they're going to do something. We will go into such a city. Not only do they pick the day they're going to do it, they pick the place they're going to go to. Then they say, continue there a year. They pick the day, they pick the place they're going to go to, they pick particularly how long they'll be there. Then they say what they're going to do when they get there, buy and sell. And then they say what the result will be, we'll get gain. You see, it's an attitude of heart. It imagines that we're in control of all that's going to happen to us and leaves God totally out of the picture. And it's frustrating, and particularly for the non-Christian, particularly frustrating, that all things are actually done not according to your will, but ultimately God's. You see, there's nothing wrong with making plans and preparations for the future. The Bible teaches us in various passages that we should do that. What God is saying is wrong is this: to imagine that we are in control of what's going to happen in the future, to make our plans without any reference to him, without acknowledging our dependency upon him and submitting to his will. For example, those of you who are younger, perhaps some of you are saying, well, when I finish school, I'm going to go and study this at that place or that other place. And then after that study, I hope to be this or that for your career. Others may say, well, I'm going to leave school, I'm going to become this straight away. Who says so? Are you sure? Are you really certain about that? Because God can change things in a moment. What I thought I was going to do, God struck me with an illness, and then before I knew it, I wasn't doing it. All my plans were turned on their head. God could do the same with you. The particular field of work that you want to go into could be hit in some way. And so people who are qualified as you are surplus to requirements. It looked when you were younger as if, well, if I do this, I get that qualification, I'm bound to get a job. And then things change and you suddenly find there's hundreds with that qualification and you can't get a job in that area. Or some accident takes place. Or even you die. And all you planned to study, all you planned to be, you suddenly find that those plans aren't fulfilled, they're not realized. And you suddenly recognize that while you thought you were in control of your life and what was going to happen to you, you really weren't. Perhaps here this morning you're planning to go on a particular place on a particular day and spend a particular time there. And you get the flu. Just the flu. Or an extremely bad heavy cold. And you don't get there. That's all. God only has to bring a little virus your way, and you suddenly find that your plans and your expectations of where you're going to be and what you're going to do are completely destroyed. Perhaps you're planning to do particular things when you retire. How many people do that? Well, when we retire, we'll do this and we'll do that and we'll do the other. And health deteriorates. Or we die. And all that we plan to do in those years is never, ever realized. You see, to make plans for the future without any reference to God, without any acknowledgement of God, and your dependency upon God is just one great proud delusion. You can't, and you never can. You see, those James speaks of here, they say, on a particular day, we're going to a particular place, we're going to stay there at a particular time, we're going to do a particular thing, and we'll have a particular result. There was such a proud arrogance about it all. And that attitude is common. We will, on this day, go to that place for that amount of time and do this with that result. And God looks down from heaven upon people making all their plans without any reference to him, without any acknowledgement of him. And God says, you know not what shall be on the morrow. What's your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. God says, you're making all your plans about what you're going to do in the future, and you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. And you don't even know whether you're going to be here tomorrow. Such is the frailty of human life. It's like a vapor. God says in Proverbs, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You see, something can happen so that on the particular day you intended to go somewhere, you can't get there that day. Or something can happen so the particular place you were going to go to, you can't get to that place. Or something can happen so you're not able to stay in that place for the amount of time you were going to do. Or something can happen so you're not able to do all that you intended to do when you were there. Or something may happen so that you don't have the outcome, the result you expected from what you were doing. We plan sometimes too confidently for the days and the months and the years ahead. And God says to us, you can't even be certain if you're going to be here tomorrow. And you don't even know all the things that may happen tomorrow that will turn your plans upside down. We read of that farmer in the parable that Jesus speaks of. He had a great harvest. He said, I'm going to pull my barns down and build bigger ones. I'll be rich. This is what he said. Listen. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He had it all planned out what he was going to do. Going to pull the barns down, build bigger ones. It'll mean I'm wealthy. I'm going to eat and drink and be merry. I'm going to have a great time. And I'm going to do that for many, many years. And God says to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." You're going to die tonight. And all you've planned will come to nothing. You won't take them barns down. You're not going to be rich like you imagine. You're not going to spend a long time eating, drinking, and being merry. You're going to die tonight. He had it all mapped out. He had it all planned out. And God says to him, "You fool. Nothing you imagine you're going to do is going to happen. It's going to be realized." And we're often like that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going here. I'm going there. And God looks down upon us and he says, "Thou fool." Why? Because he knows, and you don't know, that some accident perhaps is going to prevent you from doing what you intended to do. It may be to you. It may be on the journey you're making that prevents you getting there. We plan what we're going to do, and God looks down and says, "You fool." Because you don't know that the economic recession that's going to come, or the drop-off in your workplace, and the failure in the area of work you work in, or some natural disaster, is going to destroy your plans. You don't know that. I do, but you don't. And there you are, foolishly, imagining you know what's going to happen. He says, "Thou fool, you don't know, but I do, that you're going to be ill, or somebody close to you is going to be ill, and all you're planning to do is not going to happen." Or God says, as with this man, "You fool, you don't know, but I do, that you're going to die before all these things you imagine you're going to do actually takes place." You see, all that you plan, all that I plan, is dependent upon innumerable things, isn't it? The weather, the state of the country, what individual human beings do, what's happening in the transport system, one's health. You could go on and on like that. And we have no control over any of those things. And yet we make our plans as if they're going to be certain. And that's true of life itself. It's dependent upon God. How frail and uncertain that even is. God says, it's like a vapor. Appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. A vapor soon appears and it's soon gone. And you can not usually predict how long it's going to be about and observe. And life's like that. It soon comes and it soon goes, and we don't really know how long we're going to be about here upon this earth. How foolish, therefore, to even presume on the continuance of our life. Disease or accident can take our lives away from us at any time. So here we are making plans. We're not in control of the circumstances that will decide whether they're realized. We're not even in control of the fact that we're going to live so that those plans are realized. So what a delusion to imagine that we control the future, to be self-confident, have self-presumption, as if we're in control. You don't even know, and I don't, what's going to happen tomorrow. And none of us can even be certain that we're actually going to be here tomorrow. And sometimes even we as Christians can be running ahead with our plans. And God is looking down upon us and saying, "Thou fool, you're making your plans without any reference to me, any acknowledgement of your dependence upon me." What we ought to do is not presume that we're in control of the future, but recognize our dependence upon God. God says, ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. If he wills, you'll live so you can fulfill those plans. And if he wills, the circumstances will work out so you're able to do this or that you plan to do. God isn't saying here, don't make plans regarding the future. God isn't saying here, make plans regarding the future, but when you make those plans, always say, if the Lord will, in a more or less mechanical, formal way. Just mere vain repetition. He's not saying that. What God is saying here is this. Recognize that it's me, not you, who's in control of the future. And don't live and don't make your plans as if you are in control and I'm not in control. All your plans, all your hopes, all your aspirations ultimately are if the Lord will. They really are. And it's quite a humbling thing to recognize that and to realize that. And it's a terribly frustrating thing if you're not a Christian. As you look forward, recognize with thankfulness and reverence and submission God's sovereign control of this world, of all the circumstances of life, and therefore your dependence upon his will for your life continuing, and your dependence upon his will for all your plans and all your hopes and all your expectations being realized. Whenever we make any plan for tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, there must come into our hearts the recognition, I'm not the boss of what's going to happen. I'm not in control of what's going to happen. God is. And God, in innumerable ways, and in the smallest of ways, can thwart your best laid plans. And Christian, when you look back at your life sometimes and some of the things you were going to do and what you were going to do, and when you think about it, how God turned them upside down sometimes by the most little thing, it can be quite amazing. You know, the phone can go, you answer the phone, it makes you miss the bus, that misses the train, that misses... And before you know it, a whole plan is shattered. And it's just a very little thing God has allowed to happen, throws you on the head. Like I said before, a little virus, a little bacteria, and you're not well and you can't do what you hope to do. One train gets delayed and you miss the connection. Life is like that with big things and small things. And we often go round as if, you know, we're the boss. I'm going to do this and I'm going to be this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to go there. And God, sometimes as it says in Psalms, but in a different context, I'm sure in heaven, he laughs. What a fool they are. Do they really imagine that they control things and I don't? As a Christian, you shouldn't be frustrated at your lack of control of the future. That's something to be frustrated by. It's something to be encouraged by. Because you see, the God who holds the future is your God, is your Father, who tells you in his word he loves you, he cares for you, he does all things well for you. He tells you he's an all-wise and all-knowing God. And really, Christian, you couldn't want anything more than that, than to leave your life, your times, your friends, everything to do with you in God's hands. And if God turns your plans upside down and thwarts them, good. And you'd be glad he did, because his plan was better than the one you made. That's why. And sometimes we can get in such a lather just over a little thing, can't we? Stressed out. Didn't get there when I wanted to do. Failed to be in that place at that particular time. Some little thing has happened in life, as if it almost happened by chance. And now, you see, with the little things of life and the very, very big things, as Christians, as God's children, we have to trust in God. We have to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. It's only if he will. But what he wills is best. You try and think back. Perhaps when you go home, think how things changed in your life. Think about some big things that changed. Think about some little things perhaps that got you in a right mood and right bad-tempered and agitated. And God is looking at you saying, you fool, you're getting into a stew. Don't you realise that I've caused this to happen so that won't happen that you're getting so worked up about? I did it for your good and you're getting into a state and murmuring and complaining and getting angry and anxious. And I've done it for your good, for your benefit. You see, this isn't something just for the head. It affects our whole lives, the way we react to things, the way we react to circumstances. And even the best of us of God's children can be very, very weak in this. Something little can go wrong, and something we plan goes wrong. And why we're up there. And God is saying, you fool, I know better than you. And I've thwarted that plan, I've thwarted that arrangement, I've stopped that appointment, I've made that not happen, and I know you really wanted it, but I've done it because it's better it doesn't take place and it doesn't happen. For all we know, as a Christian, there can be many a time we were delayed if we'd have been a mile down the motorway or the road, we'd have gone from this world. We'd have been in the wrong place at the wrong time. We know nothing. But God knows all things. God says, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't even know whether you're going to get up and there's going to be a tomorrow. So you should say, if I will, you'll live and do this and do that. But non-Christian, when you think about it, you've got yourself into a sorry state, really. You see, you've rejected God. You're leaving God out of your life. And God is really saying to you, you fool. Because I'm going to determine how long you live. And I'm going to determine whether or not your best laid hopes and plans will be realized. What a terrible thing to be separated from, an enemy of the God who has our lives in his hands and who holds our future. And that's the dilemma you're in as a non-Christian. And whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter how much you reject God and deny he is, you're going to be confronted by him every day of your life. You really are. Because he's going to overrule things that so often will thwart all that you planned or hope to do. What you need to do is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be forgiven your sin, to be at peace with God. Trust in the Lord Jesus to be right with God, have a right standing with God. And what happens then? You don't know the future still. You don't control the future, but you know the God who does. That's the difference. You know the God who does. And you can leave your life and your times in God, your Saviour's hands, and know that he'll do all things well for you. What a delusion. Tomorrow we'll go to such a city, continue there a year, buy, sell, get gain. God says, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, or there's going to be one. I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones. I'm going to be wealthy. I'm going to have a great time. I'm going to do this for many years. And God says, no, you're not. You're going to die before any of that happens. If the Lord will, you'll live and you'll do this and you'll do that. Amen.